If you have your Bible this morning, please open it again as we begin our time together in the Gospel of Luke, to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. I want us to consider a particular topic that Luke brings to our attention that was in the ministry and the message of John, found in verse 16 of Luke 3. As you recall, where the crowd has a great expectation and wondering whether or not John is the Christ, the Messiah. And his answer to him, he says in verse 16, that as for me, I baptize you with water. But one is coming to whom is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Beloved, this morning, at the conclusion of our worship time together as the people of God and as a church, we will practice one of the two ordinances that God has given to us to perform. That is the ordinance of baptism. And it's with that in mind, with what we see here, that John says, and speaking in regards to being baptized with the Holy Spirit, that I want to primarily speak to you about today, the baptism of or with the Holy Spirit. But before I do that, I want you to notice again what John says there in verse 16, where he says, "As for me, I baptize you with water." And if you recall, as we've been going through this section of Scripture, who was it that John was baptizing? He was baptizing those that were coming out to him, confessing their sins. They were participating in, as it's described, as the baptism of repentance, where the people were repenting for the forgiveness of their sins. So again, there, as we've seen, John was not baptizing babies. But also, I want you to understand that the baptism that we will perform today will be similar to John's baptism, but it will not be identical to John's baptism. It will be similar in that we will be baptizing with water. It will also be similar in the sense that those and the person that will be baptized is someone who is repenting, who's repentant. But it will be very different in this sense. The baptism that we will partake of today will be done in the name of Jesus. The person will be baptized in the name of Jesus, which means that they will be publicly identifying with Jesus, with the full message, with the gospel, the saving work of Jesus Christ, of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, we know this was a fundamental difference between the baptism that John was practicing and the baptism that we will be practicing today. Because if you will now for just a moment, go over to the book of Acts again and go to Acts chapter 19. Because in Acts chapter 19, we're introduced to a people, a group of people that the Apostle Paul comes across who have been baptized by John. And yet in verse 2 of Acts 19, Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we've not even heard whether the Holy Spirit has been given." And he said, "Well, then to what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." They had been baptized with water into the baptism of John. Paul said, "But John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus." And when they heard this, notice, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, they were baptized with water in the name of the Lord Jesus. So clearly, as we see here, John's baptism was different than Paul's baptism, that is Christian baptism, which is what we seek to practice here today. Christian baptism, which is for believers only, for believers who have believed in Jesus, believed in the sinless life of Jesus, the death of Jesus on the cross for their sins, and the resurrection of Jesus on the third day. See, at no time did John preach fully about Jesus. In fact, no one did until after the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus had actually occurred. Now, John did speak of Jesus as being the Savior. He did speak of Him as being the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But it is the Apostle Paul here in this section of Scripture who would have been explaining a whole lot more to this crowd that had been baptized and had listened to the message that John had been preaching. So, beloved, let me just say this, and I'll say it more than once today. If you're here today and you have truly believed in Jesus as your Savior, then you are to be baptized as a believer in Christ, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, by which you are then publicly identifying with Jesus. Thus, you will be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, as it says there, being baptized in the name of Jesus, that's not a formula that Paul was using. That's not a formula that Peter was using or any of the apostles in this time in the book of Acts. Just saying being baptized in the name of Jesus is just a way of saying you are now publicly identifying with the name of Christ, the person of Christ, the provision of Christ, and the gospel of Christ, all of what that entails. In fact, really, as we go through Scripture, the main reason why someone should be prevented from being baptized in the name of Jesus would be the question of, have you truly believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's what we'll be practicing today. But now let's go back for a moment to Luke chapter 3 and notice what John is saying here. And remember, in the context of what John is trying to get across to them, he's trying to show the people why it is he's not the Messiah. Because only the Messiah could be baptizing with the Holy Spirit. All John can do is baptize with water. But notice what he says, talking about the one who is coming. And we know that to be Jesus, saying he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. First observation I want you to notice about that statement that John makes is that it is in a future tense, which means the people that John was baptizing with water, they were not being baptized with the Holy Spirit. They had not been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Again, that's what we see there in Acts 19. Those were people, 12 men, who had been baptized with water by John according to the message that he had delivered, but not a one of them had been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, that tells us then that no one in John's ministry was baptized with the Holy Spirit. No one in the Old Testament was baptized with the Holy Spirit. You may ask a question that I ask myself then. Well, does that mean then, you know, when Jesus was here on the earth as well, during those 3 years of his ministry, he was going around and preaching as well. And we're told over in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 3 and in John chapter 4, that people were being baptized with water during the ministry of Jesus while he was here on the earth. Now, it tells us Jesus himself did not baptize anyone, but his apostles, his disciples, were baptizing people who were coming and wanting to be a disciple of Jesus. So, is that when this was being fulfilled? When Jesus was baptizing people with the Holy Spirit? And as we will see, the answer to that question is no. It is not. You say, so when did it begin to occur? Well, look over in the book of Acts again. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. We will primarily be in the book of Acts today. But in Acts chapter 1, the opening verses, we see that this is after the death of Jesus on the cross. This is after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And it is before the ascension of Jesus to heaven, back to the Father. And it tells us there in verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but ye will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now let's just think through these two verses and what Jesus is saying here. When you look back in verse 4, notice what Jesus says. This is what you heard of from me. What the Father had promised. You heard me teach these things. You heard me talking about this. So let's think about that. For just a moment now, let's go back to the Gospel of John. Go to John chapter 7. Go back to John chapter 7. Let's see some things that Jesus had been teaching them in regards to the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39 is what is key. "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive," which means they haven't received the Holy Spirit. Why? "For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus was not yet glorified. And think about that idea there of receiving. Those that will believe in him were to receive the Spirit. And one of the things we'll see as we're going through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 33, Peter is talking about having received the promise. Verse 38, this promise can be received by others as well. Acts chapter 8 and verse 15 and 17, when the gospel expands out to the Samaritans, it's talking about them receiving the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, when it finally goes out to the Gentiles and to Cornelius' house, it talks about, Peter says, they have received the Holy Spirit. And even there in Acts chapter 19 and verse 2, what did Paul ask? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Jesus is here saying, those who believe in him were to receive the Holy Spirit after he has been glorified. What else did Jesus teach us? Look over in the, stay in the Gospel of John. Look over in John chapter 14 for just a moment. In verse 16 and 17, there he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." Then in verse 25, he says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Here Jesus is promising that the Holy Spirit is going to be sent to them. The Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, and he will be their helper. Now notice, if you will, for a moment, go now to the next chapter, chapter 15. And notice in verse 26 and 27, Jesus again teaching them about this. Says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." So here again, Jesus is saying, "I will send to you from the Father the Holy Spirit." Now notice, if you will, in chapter 16, verse 5, Jesus says, "But now I am going to him who sent me." So he's saying, I am going back to him. I am going back to the Father. I'm going back to the one who sent me. And he says in verse 7, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away." Go away where? I go back to him. "For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." There it is. He's saying, once I go away, I will send him to you. As it says there in verse 10 at the end, "Because I go to the Father and you no longer see me." You see, what Jesus is teaching here is he's saying, when I go back to the Father, then I will send, and the Father will send, we together will send the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus had been teaching them, that he would go away to the Father, and it was to their advantage.
Because once he was there, there would be the sending of the Holy Spirit to them. And even picking up on that language of sending forth, go back for just a moment to the Gospel of Luke and go to Luke chapter 24. Jesus again before his ascension, but after his resurrection, remember what he told them in verse 49? Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father. The promise of my Father upon you. But you're to stay here in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. That is, until you're sent the Holy Spirit, as Jesus has been teaching them, saying, stay here. So, beloved, this is the promise. This is the promise that Jesus is speaking about there in Acts chapter 1, back in verse 4, when he gathered them together and he says, wait right here for what the Father has promised, which you've heard of from me, what I've been talking to you about, that once I go back to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit and you will receive the Holy Spirit once I have been glorified. So this is what Jesus has been teaching them. This is what he's been talking about when he says, you heard of from me. But now notice back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5 where Jesus connects this, what we were looking at there in Luke 3:16, where he says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And remember who he's talking to. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his apostles. And he's saying to them, not many days from now, that's when you will have the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Which means, again, they had not had the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's not what was happening during the ministry of John. It's not what was happening during the ministry of Jesus. And he says, not many days from now. And as you read through and you see, you flow over into Acts chapter 2, you see on the day of Pentecost, this is where the baptism that Jesus is promising of the Spirit of God, where the Spirit comes, this is being fulfilled as he's talking about. In fact, look over in Acts chapter 2 now, when Peter is describing this, look again for a moment in verse 33 and 34. Acts chapter 2 and 34. Here's Peter says, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, that's exactly as Jesus taught it. Those who believe in him will receive the Spirit of God once Jesus has been glorified. And as Jesus says, once I go back to the Father, the one who sent me, I and the Father will send forth the Spirit of God. And Peter says, here he is, the ascension has happened. He's been exalted back to the right hand of the Father. Thus we have received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven. But he said himself, says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That's speaking about the ascension of Christ. So you see, in the glorification of Christ, when Christ had ascended back to the right hand of the Father, we have the fulfillment of this promise that what Jesus was speaking about, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. But now notice what Peter goes on to say. This wasn't just for them. Because notice in verse 38 and 39, Peter said to them, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of your sins. And notice what he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, this promise of the Holy Spirit, it's for you, it's for your children, it's for all those who are far off. But notice the very end phrase there in verse 39. Because it is key. He says, basically, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. This promise of the Holy Spirit is promised to as many as the Lord God will call to himself. It wasn't going to stop with them. It was going to expand over. That thus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, beloved, it started on the day of Pentecost, but it didn't end on the day of Pentecost. Peter saying it will continue forward to everyone that God effectually calls to Himself, whereby He grants the gift of repentance and faith to those. So this is what Peter's saying here on the day of Pentecost. The baptism has come. But it's not just for us. It's promised to anyone and everyone that truly repents for the forgiveness of sins. And as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. But now I want you to notice something as the gospel continues to move forward. And that we see as many as the Lord God will call to Himself and how that unfolds. I want us to first look over now in Acts chapter 10 for just a moment. Acts chapter 10. And here we have the gospel going outside of the Jews and it's going to the Gentiles. It's going to a man by the name of Cornelius, we see there in verse 1. And all those in his household that would be listening to understand the message of the gospel and the message that Peter would be preaching. If we were to study through chapter 10, we would see that God sent a vision to Peter, basically saying, I want you to go to the Gentiles. I want you to go to them and preach the gospel to them. A vision was given to Cornelius to send some men to Peter to go get him and bring him to his house. That's why he says there in verse 33, so I sent for you immediately and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we're all here present before God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord. And Peter shows up and Peter begins to preach. He begins to preach about Jesus. He begins to preach the gospel to them. And notice what happens beginning in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those that were listening to the message. They were listening to the word. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter, they're amazed. Why? Because this promise, this gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And notice Peter answered in verse 47, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we can he. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice what Peter's saying. Notice what happens here. While Peter is preaching, the people are listening. And while they're just sitting there listening, as we will see over in Acts chapter 11 in just a moment, God grants them the gift of repentance, the gift of true saving faith. And when He does that, He also grants them the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Because what Peter is trying to emphasize here is just as what happened to us, that is in the receiving, that the baptism with the Holy Spirit has now also happened to the Gentiles. It's been poured out on them as well. Now you got to understand, beloved, as we're going to see, the Jews have a hard time with this. They have a hard time understanding what all is going on. That's why in chapter 11, in verse 1, when the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea, they heard that word gets back to them, the Gentiles also had received the word of God. They want to have a conference with Peter. They want to know what's going on. They want to know what's happened. And one of the problems they have is, Peter, how in the world did you even go to the home of a Gentile like that? You're not even supposed to do that. Peter explains why he did, because of the vision God had given him. But notice how Peter describes it. as he's beginning to give a testimony of what happened there in Acts chapter 10. Notice what he says. Verse 13. And he reported to us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household." And notice verse 15. "As I began to speak," Peter says, "the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning." Peter is tying this back into Acts chapter 2. He's saying, look, just like the Spirit fell on us, the Spirit fell on them. Now, not exactly in the sense there were no tongues of fire there. There was no mighty rushing wind that was there. All those things didn't happen. The point of what he's trying to say here, as we will see, is just as we received and we were baptized with the Holy Spirit, so were they. Because notice what he says. As Peter, notice what he's telling you what he was thinking. That when he was speaking and all of a sudden, apparently the Spirit of God fell upon them. He says in verse 16, "And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water.'" See, he's connecting this now back to Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 that we were looking at. Remember where Jesus gathered them together and he kept telling them, "Wait here for the promise up from the Father that I've been telling you about, how John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And Peter says, when I saw them experiencing what we experienced, I remember what the Lord kept saying. He kept saying to us, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he did to us after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? So when they heard this, they quieted down and were glorified and glorified God, saying, "Well, then God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." Beloved, what we're seeing here is that there is a consistency. Whether you're in Acts 2 or Acts 10 or even over in Acts 19 that we were looking at a moment ago, the consistency there is those that had repented and those had put their faith in Jesus, those were the ones that were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And those that were the ones then that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, beloved, baptism of the Spirit is something for all believers. All believers. Not a special group of believers. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 8 now for a moment. Because what we've seen so far, on the day of Pentecost, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit began. We saw that Peter promised, as many as the Lord God calls to himself, they will enjoy this gift. They will enjoy the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We've seen it in Acts chapter 10 when it extended out to the Gentiles, that they were also baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there was no... All it was, after listening to the message and believing in the granting of repentance by God, the Spirit of God fell upon them and they were baptized. But now we have to deal with a particular issue in Acts chapter 8. Where now the gospel at this point, this is obviously before Acts chapter 10. Because here in Acts chapter 8 is really where we see the first time the gospel goes outside really of the Jewish community. It's really going outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea. And it's by Philip. And as Philip goes out to preach, notice in verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike." So here right now, what we see is that Philip goes out. He goes to Samaria. He preaches the gospel to them. The people there, men and women alike, are believing. And those that are proclaiming that they're believing this are now being baptized. But now notice in verse 14. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, that ought to remind you of what we read there in Acts chapter 11. Remember what we saw in Acts chapter 11 after Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius? In verse 1 of chapter 11 it says, when the apostles and all the brethren in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, they're like, we need to talk about this. What happened here? Well, that's what's going on here. Word gets back to the apostles in Jerusalem, because if you were to go back, remember, whenever the church began to be persecuted, and they begin to scatter, it's the apostles that will remain. But in verse 14 it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, and notice, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because verse 16, why? For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here we have some people who had the gospel preached to them. They had professed faith in Jesus. They've actually been baptized with water in the name of Jesus Christ, but yet they haven't received the Holy Spirit. They haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit. As he says, it has not yet fallen upon any of them. So we see Peter and John show up. Verse 17, they begin laying their hands on them, which is their way of saying, we affirm what's going on here. And they were receiving the Holy Spirit. They're receiving the Holy Spirit. So the question there is, why the delay? I mean, is this a second blessing? And my answer to that would be no. When you look at the whole context of what's going on here and the situation at hand, and you even put it with Acts 10 and Acts 19 and Acts 8, and you're thinking through this, the reason for the delay here is really about unity. Because as the gospel is finally beginning to spread and spread beyond the Jewish community and beyond Judea, remember what Jesus told them, when you receive the Holy Spirit and power of God comes upon you, you're to go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth. They're finally doing that. But they need to understand this is all together now. Everybody's experiencing the same thing. The delay here was for unity's sake. I would say even as the tongues that were being granted was for unity's sake. So that they would understand, whether it was the Jews, it was the Samaritans, whether it was the Gentiles. Listen, beloved, they're all one. They are all one in Christ. They're all one in the body of Christ. You think about this. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, Jesus talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And as we saw there in Acts 10 and 11, in Acts 10, when Peter goes to Cornelius' house, in verse 44, it says, the Spirit fell upon all those that were listening to the message. In Acts 11 and verse 15 and 16 there, Peter says, what fell upon them is the same thing that fell upon us. And then here in Acts chapter 19, talks about the Holy Spirit came upon them. Here in Acts 8, it says it just had not yet fallen upon any of them. The idea here is of the continuity and the unity and the oneness of the body of Christ and what it is that God was doing. They needed to understand that. They needed to understand that we are now all the same. There's one body, there's one man, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. That's what they needed to understand. So, beloved, as the gospel would continue to advance and to be proclaimed, even in the community of Samaria, it was not necessary for an apostle to show back up. It was not necessary because the Spirit of God was not going to be continued but delayed for them to receiving and the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Just think about it. As the gospel kept spreading across the world, you didn't have apostles showing up every place the gospel went. In fact, at the end of this, it says Philip, on his way back to Caesarea, went to other cities and kept preaching the gospel. People are getting saved. But yet, you didn't hear the apostles saying, oh, we better send somebody over here, send somebody over there, send somebody over there. We've got to keep going and checking all this out. No. They have enough from this one experience and what they're seeing to understand this is all being brought together by God. Even in the Gentile world and community, this would not be necessary. You see, there's no need for an apostle to come on the scene. Not today. There's no need for a laying on of hands for the receiving or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no need for any delay. There's even no need for tongues for this unity. All that has now been established. All that has now been set up. As we think about that, and we're thinking about being baptized with the Spirit of God, what I want you to understand now for us is that we're all baptized with the Holy Spirit into the church, the body of Christ. And beloved, this is what the Apostle Paul teaches us. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13, Paul says this, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." You see, beloved, when you're reading through the book of Acts, what the book of Acts is giving us is the description and the details of what is happening. Now the Apostle Paul comes along now and begins to give us the explanation of these things and some of the meanings of these things. Thus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is no longer future. And the question that Paul asked in Acts chapter 19 and verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" is no longer a valid question. Not for us today. Because if you have believed, then you've been redeemed. And if you've been redeemed, that means you have been born again by the Spirit of God into the family of God. And it means also that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because you've been placed into the body of Christ. You've been placed into the church, to the family of God. You see, as Paul explains it for us, we all, Jews and Gentiles, all alike, have been made partakers and partakers of the new covenant and the new covenant ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thus, there is one body, there is one Spirit, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. And we've all been baptized into the body of Christ by the one Spirit. Thus, we're all enjoying the privileges and the works and the ministry of the Spirit of God. Because as Paul says, when he ascended on high, he sent the gifts down to men. Thus, there is continuity. There is unity. There is oneness. Think about it. When you read through the book of Acts, you see that they're having to adjust and understand this. Because remember what they keep trying to do? They keep trying to get the Gentiles to be circumcised. And Paul keeps trying to come back to them, and even Peter, and say, no, you don't need that. There is continuity. There is a oneness that is there. And it does not require Gentiles to be circumcised. It did not require anyone to attach themselves to the Judaism of that day. So, beloved, let me just say this. If you're here today and you have believed in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then you do so because God has effectually called you. He's born you into His family by His Spirit. But also, you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You have been immersed and you have been placed into the body of Christ. So even this morning, this Mary will come to be baptized. Though she has not been baptized with water, she's already been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because after listening and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, one is baptized with the Spirit of God. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're a free person or a slave. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, your gender, your social status, your economic status. None of that matters. You say, well, what matters? Well, what matters is this, and I'll close with this. Is first off, have you believed in Jesus? See, that's the ultimate thing that matters here today. Have you believed in Jesus? If so, give God the glory. Praise God because of His calling of you, His gifting of you, the faith and repentance. But if not, if you're sitting here today and you say, I have not truly repented of my sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ, that's the first thing. That's what you must do. You need to respond now. And you need to believe upon Christ. You need to believe upon Him. But here's the second thing. As a believer, my second question then to you is, have you obeyed the Lord Jesus? And have you been baptized with water in the name of Jesus Christ? Because you know, when we were reading in Acts 2, when we're reading in Acts 8, when we're reading in Acts 10, when we're reading in Acts 19, did you notice every single person there was all baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized? Not in order for you to be saved, but because you are saved. Because you want to now publicly identify with Jesus Christ. It is an act of obedience. It is an act of obedience. And that's what your desire would be. So have you believed in Jesus? If so, you are forgiven of your sins. You've been baptized with the Spirit of God. But have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, then that is something that you need to do. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment.